Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So here's a question for you. How do you handle being misunderstood, especially when you feel like that misunderstanding could impact your reputation? Remember, a number of years ago, over the course of a few days, three different people whom I love and trust and cherish, all three in random situations relayed back to me a conversation they were having with about me to someone else, saying, oh, I told her you didn't go because, or I told her you did that because. All three of them were as wrong as the day was long. And they were like close friends. And I was like, how could you get that so wrong? But it was like, it was innocent. It was not a big deal, but it just made me realize, you know, it's how often maybe we're being represented in a way that's not accurate, how we cannot manage people's opinions of us, and we certainly can't control what people say about us. So how do we come to a place where we can rest our reputation in the Lord? How do we come to a place where we become more skilled at navigating conflict so that we're not living in a spirit of offense, of rejection, of anger and bitterness, or even fear of man? The Bible says the fear of man is a snare, but the fear of God is safety and freedom. Well, my friend Pastor Carolyn Haas joins me today to talk about this very thing, about entrusting our reputation to the Lord, about trusting God with what He says about us, way over what man says about us, but then understanding how to wisely navigate conflict. Well, last time Carolyn was in studio, she says, we have to normalize conflict. We need to not be so afraid of it because it really is paralyzing the body of Christ and distracting so many because many are walking around with offense. So I've got a question for you that I really want you to text in, and then I've got a couple announcements. First, would you text in? I'm not going to name, you know, read any names, but I just want to know, please engage on this text. I want to know from you, what's the most recent time you had some angst around a relationship? Maybe you didn't have a full-blown conflict. Maybe the other person doesn't even know that you kind of had some angst, but you felt a conflict in your soul because of a relational issue. When was the last time? Just tell me a little bit about it. Text me 877-933-2484. Maybe you bumped into someone where they bumped into you, so to speak, and poked at something insensitively in your story. Text me when was the most recent time that you felt some angst around a relationship and what was it about? 877-933-2484. Okay, couple of quick announcements. We found in our garage a case of Strong in Battle 10-pack cards. We've had more people going, can we buy them from you? We can't sell them because they're marketing pieces, but we got this big case. So we're going to give away a whole bunch of them today. 10 packs. They're gorgeous. Let me just read a couple of these quotes. Do you trust God more than you trust yourself? Are you willing to follow Him to a restful place when your schedule says it's impossible? Here's another one. God is looking for saints today who are willing to rise this hour and believe Him to be the God He declares Himself to be. There's a whole bunch of these scenic, gorgeous quote cards. And these aren't just for our live audience. My friends who are listening by podcast, we're leaving the drawing open for you as well. So if you want in on the drawing, you have a high chance of winning a 10-pack of these beautiful cards. We got tons of them to give away. You can text the word book. You're not getting a book, but that's how we do the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And then one other quick announcement. We're thinking of praying of doing a show on Christmas miracles. And if you've got just one of those Christmas miracle stories or a heartfelt story where God intersected your holiday season, that same number that you always text, call and leave a message on the Faith Line. But tell the story with a little bit of pacing so we can put some music under it and put a show together. Here's the number again. Just put it in your phone, 877-933-2484. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Pastor Carolyn Haas and her husband Peter are the founders and lead pastors of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Together, they speak to leaders and church planters all over the world, and that is true. They have three children and make their home in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she's a precious friend of mine. Carolyn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. Oh my gosh, I just love you, and it's just so good to hear your voice. I had to laugh at your text that you wanted everyone to answer. When's the last time you felt any sort of tension with relationally? And I thought, Susie, it's every day for me. maybe that's why God wants us to talk about it today, because, you know, I think it's every day.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially if you're in the front lines and you're, you know, you're putting yourself out there for the kingdom. Absolutely. And I appreciate your honesty about that. And as I was going through your notes, Carolyn, I'm thinking, this is a book I think you need to write. I'm sure the Lord has told you that already, right?
Yeah, but it's the most painful thing I'm navigating. And so, of course, why wouldn't, you know, we get our insights and our revelation from the pain that we walk through, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, before we dig into the topic, we love to start just making it really personal. And this is something I love to hear from you whenever you and Peter are on the show. But just what is the Lord speaking to you about these days?
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday, I've been reading in 1 Corinthians. And so yesterday, I was in 1 Corinthians 15. And I came across verse 33, which is super famous. It's the scripture that says, bad company corrupts good character. And we know we always quote that when it comes to friendships and choosing friends wisely, and it's a great verse for teenagers. But I was, as I'm studying the context, Paul is actually in Ephesus, but he's writing a letter to the church in Corinth, which I just think is super cool. It's like he's multitasking his pastoral skills. Do you know what I mean? He's in Ephesus. He's writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 15, he's talking to them about the resurrection of Jesus and how foundational this to our faith. In fact, he's actually saying we have no faith if there's no resurrection in Jesus. And then all of a sudden he brings up a cultural statement, how culture is saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. And that's ultimately where then, hey, bad company corrupts good character. And so ultimately what he's saying is culture does not have a big picture and eternal perspective. And so I think Paul's actually saying, hey, do you have a casual approach to life, to your priorities, to your decisions? Have you allowed the company in your life to corrupt how you think, how you feel, how you make decisions? When you think about your company, whether it's your media inputs, music, movies, blogs, social media, news, your coworkers, culture, I think we really allow it to erode the foundations and maybe the eternal perspective. Because Paul goes on to then to say, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. Because I'm ashamed to say this, but some of you don't know God. And I think it makes it even more profound that he ends the chapter with, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Or one translation says, your labor in the Lord is never in vain. And I just loved meditating on that because, you know, for me, I'm just processing, okay, Carolyn, what part of my life am I allowing the inputs, the company that I keep, to erode an eternal perspective? And maybe that just means I'm not working enthusiastically for the Lord. Maybe I'm working mediocre for the Lord, or maybe my pace, or you know what I'm saying? So to me, I just loved kind of a fresh take on that friendship scripture.
That's so good. You know, I remember as a young mom, very young mom, many years ago, I was having a conversation with my hubby, Kevin. I said to him, it's so weird. I said, when I walk away from this friend, I want to buy a bigger house. When I walk away from this friend, I want to lose 20 pounds. When I walk away from this friend, I want to know Jesus more. And he says, you know, honey, he says, we are such creatures of the moment. We don't realize the company we're in. It's the fruit that happens after. And I thought that is so true. And you walk long enough, you are influenced by the people you walk with. You know, nobody is immune from that. And you will take on similar convictions. And even what's interesting is you'll either be bothered by the same sins or you'll justify the same sins.
That's brilliant. Oh my gosh, that's so insightful.
Mm. Well, you can put that in your book if you want and just put a smiley face next to it. Just kidding.
I love that word. Oh my gosh.
I do too. I do. And I love sparring back and forth and that, like, you know what I mean? Like sharing back and forth and what God is, it's firepower to me. So, all right, next question. I just got to ask, what are you thankful for these days?
What am I thankful for? You know what? I have been walking through a trial recently just with my son's health. And today, a friend just texted me 5 scriptures and just said, I'm interceding for you. And I literally stopped and I went, I am so thankful for God's word, because it strengthened me. It encouraged me. It strengthened my faith and my hope. And then I went, I'm thankful for the people of God. Like, I've been reading my Bible today as well, but there's nothing like having someone else send me a scripture that they are reading and praying for me. And so I know that sounds so cliche, but today, literally an hour ago, I'm like, this is what I'm thankful for.
Wow. So beautiful. As we go to break here, I got to read this from this dear listener. Hey, Susie and Pastor Carolyn, I moved to a new location, became friends right away with someone. I had to break off that friendship when the friend became jealous and expected me to pay constant attention to her. It was a brutal time as she made me out to be the bad person and spoke it to our many mutual friends. I knew enough to be quiet about it, but man, that was tough. Oh, wow. And that's the way to handle it. And I pray that you see, I believe that you will see God's vindication of you as you entrust your reputation to him. That was wisdom, and God will take care of you. And people who are wise will see who's doing the talking and who's not. Talking to Pastor Carolyn Haas, we're talking about being misunderstood, entrusting your reputation to God, navigating conflict, and learning how to do that while you maintain your peace and your joy. We don't have to postpone joy until everybody's happy with us, because that's not going to happen. But we're really hoping and praying by the end of the hour you feel encouraged, you enjoy your life right now. Even if some people don't get you, it's okay. God gets you, he loves you, and he's singing over you right now. More with Carolyn Haas in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Is one of my favorite songs right now with Torrin Wells. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my precious friend, Pastor Carolyn Haas. And we're talking about being misunderstood, entrusting your reputation to God, navigating conflict, not postponing joy, learning to enjoy the fact that God enjoys you, even if people don't get you. A side note, Kevin and I discovered a case of my 10 packs of cards from Strong in Battle. They're scenic. They're beautiful. We can't sell them because they're marketing pieces, but we're going to give away a whole bunch today. They're just so pretty. Here's a quote from one of them. Jesus wants to transform you into someone you never dreamed you could be. He wants to turn your fear into faith, your tendency to self-protect into a passion to step out with purpose. And we're leaving the drawing open both for our live listeners and our podcast listeners. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions about conflict, about being misunderstood, text them in and we'll include them in this conversation today. Carolyn, in your show prep notes, you share about a time when you asked God why you were so driven. I love that you do that. I do the same thing. Show me my heart. And he brought you back to a memory when you were in youth ministry, and some of the elders were talking bad about the senior pastor. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been kind of a driven person, but like you said, I went to the Lord, and I think that's an important, you said it, you know, God, you know why I'm wired and why am I reacting this certain way? And instantly, like, it was almost like I was transported to a different room, and it was like, it was literally 10 years prior, and I was a youth pastor, and I remember some of the leaders in our church, they were talking poorly of our senior pastor, and honestly, they just didn't understand his personality, and I happened to have done massive studying of personality traits and all the different assessment tests, and so I happened to know and understand this pastor really well, and so I could contextualize how he was coming off, and I knew to give him grace and to not be offended by his leadership style, and none of it was sinful. It was just personality, right? And so I was able to, like, oh, he didn't mean to come off that way. This is how he actually meant, and so I was always able to understand, contextualize, not be offended, and I was always able to give grace. And these leaders in the church didn't. And I remember in that moment, I felt like the Lord went, Carolyn, that was where some subconscious trauma, like, filled in into your heart. And it instilled a myth that if I was a great leader, no one would talk bad about me. Now we can laugh and go, ha, 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 isn't that funny? Of course, we all know that, you know, that's not true. But I think, again, it was subconscious. I didn't realize I was believing that lie till 10, 15 years later. You know, we planted Substance in 2004. Now the church is 2011, and I'm experiencing some of my first betrayals and accusations and deep misunderstanding, deep dishonor as a leader and as a pastor. And so for me, it was that it just caught me off guard. Do you know what I mean? And I had to go on a massive journey of, like, oh my goodness. You know, so I saw a counselor and I read books and honestly spent hours in God's word, you know, just, but realizing I thought that I was entitled to a great reputation. You know, there's even that scripture in Luke where it talks about Jesus grew with favor and with God and with man. And so I always thought, you know, hey, it's my job to grow in favor with God and man. And, but I didn't, so I thought I was entitled to a good reputation. I thought that if I was a good leader, nobody would talk bad about me. People would just love me. And I think it's safe to say, you've experienced this, that when people talk bad about you and they accuse you of your motives, they accuse your health, it's dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. It's cruel. And, yeah. And I just, again, I thought my reputation was mine to build and mine to defend. And I'll never forget when the Lord, I just felt like he challenged me and he just said, Carolyn, who do you think you are? Like, if Jesus was perfect and yet he had people accuse him, misunderstand, criticize, judge his motives and actions, ultimately betray him, what makes you think you can escape this? And I felt like the Lord said, Carolyn, I want you to reframe this as one of the sufferings of Christ and allow me to be your defender.
So good.
You know, I think for me, that is still the hardest test of leadership, is actually allowing God to defend you, which actually takes faith. It takes faith to not strive and want to defend ourselves, right? And be misrepresented. And so I just think, oh, it's a painful lesson, but I'm growing. I'm getting better. My reactions today in 2022 are much better than they were in 2012, 2011. So there's hope for those of you out there, you know, and my heart as a leader is just to share the things that God has taught me because they've been painful lessons that I've had to really navigate.
There's so much I love about this story. One of the things I want to point out is just you're so earnest in your walk with God that when you notice something, you bring it to the Lord. And the fact that, you know, you picked up a lie when life let you down, so to speak, where, you know, the enemy is so, you know, stealth in the way that he plants lies. It's like you said, it went into your subconscious because you weren't even being betrayed then, but you have integrity enough to be bothered that the pastor was being betrayed. And you, and so you were like, oh, okay, I really don't want that to happen. And I wonder how many subconscious lies are we walking around with that are just sort of there. And this is why I think it's so important to understand and trust that God does allow these, an overplayed enemy attack so he can position us for freedom. He knows what's in us and he wants it out of us. And he, you know, you guys are experiencing explosive growth, just like when Peter got all the fish in the nets were tearing. The guys were stressed. They needed more help. That's growth pains. It's messy. And it's always going to bring out the best and the worst of people. Some are going to get jealous. Others are going to jump in and help pull the net together. But I just think it's so beautiful, Carolyn, that you just stayed in it with God to let him teach you about it. And now, you know, I've known you for a long time. You don't seem too scared of that. You really understand God's love for you, and you go right into, rather than avoidance, you go in to build bridges and to have hard conversations. Talk about just advice you have for the person who's conflict avoidant but sick to their stomach all the time.
Right. Well, you know what? One of my friends actually taught me this, and she said, Carolyn, the mark of maturity is not whether or not you have insecurities or triggers or offenses. Like that, like you're human. You're going to have those. The mark of maturity is how quickly you pause, stop, you know, identify the insecurity, identify the trigger, and invite the Holy Spirit in to speak to you, to help you navigate it and grow in it. And so I think that's, for me, that's what I'm constantly teaching leaders. I'm constantly teaching my children. I'm trying to normalize insecurity and triggers and offense. Not that they're okay, but that so many people feel shame. Like, I thought I'd forgiven that, but I thought, like, I shouldn't feel this way. And they focus on that rather than instantly capturing that thought and going, Holy Spirit, I feel this. Help me navigate this emotion, this thought, this feeling. Do you know what I mean? Identifying it and let's grow through it. God, what do you want to speak to me about? What do you want to reveal to me? And so I think I'm trying to normalize, hey, first of all, miscommunication and misunderstandings will happen in every relationship and every organization. They are not a sign of unhealth. It's a sign of being human. There's no perfect way to communicate. And I know that sounds obvious, but I'm telling you, I feel like all day, every day, the church world is filled with people who are accusing. You know what I mean? And it's all misunderstandings. Yep. And it's all miscommunications. And they see it as a sign of, oh, those are unhealthy, or this organization, or this nonprofit, or this, you name it, you fill in the blanks, this government organization, whatever it is. And I'm actually going, wait a minute. We all have different personalities. We all have different experiences and filters. And like, I just think we have to get better at communicating and seeking to understand.
Indeed. You know, there's an epidemic that's happening among young people. I hear about it constantly, of young people who are involved in their church but have cut off their godly parents. Now, it's one thing if you have an abusive parent, but I'm saying this is happening in epidemic numbers of godly parents, but the young person got an offense. And even one of our producers says she sees it on Facebook all the time. Others are like, I'm so bothered by my in-laws. Well, just cut them off. Like, this is just what we do. We cut people off.
Right.
And there's just a slew of brokenhearted parents who are Christians who are desperate to see their grandchildren or whatever. And there's no, like, and that's one of those things where there's no conviction to try to do what you can do. And that, I feel like, breaks God's heart. Would just speak to that, if you would, because that's something I pray for a lot, that there would be such a profound sense of conviction that honor would make a comeback and reconciliation would happen as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think, okay, so what happens is, we have a miscommunication, we have a misunderstanding, right? And here's where the mistake that we make is we attach offense to that. We actually assume the worst. We assume people's motives. And I think, so like what I see that's unhealthy, what you're describing is we assume, quote, we know what they meant. We assume the worst. We assume it was on purpose. We assume it was a rejection. We assume it was an attack. We make assumptions and conclusions about what they said, what they did, what they meant, even body language. Do you know what I mean? And versus actually the mark of maturity is actually being humble and actually asking clarifying questions. Hey, when you said that, what did you mean by that? You know, and seeking to understand, believing the best, you know, and I think, I feel like my husband has taught me that in the sense that we adore each other. We've been together for 33 years. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've been together for a long time, married 27, and we adore each other. We know each other. I mean, we are so different in our personalities. We study each other. We've got different personalities, love, languages, strengths, all of it. Yet we still miscommunicate and we still get into fights. And here's the trick. We could get offended, and I would say we do when we're overtired or when we're navigating a GPS in a new city. We're tired, angry, stressed. We do get offended. We say things to each other that are rude and impatient. We expect the other one to read our mind, to know what we're thinking, to remember what we communicated earlier in the day. And I think the more I thought about it, I went, wait a minute, if this is my husband and I, and we believe the best, like we love each other, then I kind of go, what hope is there for the rest of the world? Do you know what I mean? Who doesn't love and adore me and believe the best about me? And so then when my look or my body language or my tone to them said something different that was going on in my heart, do you know what I mean? And so I find myself, I get defensive. I want to always fight, like, my heart was pure. That's not what I meant. Well, my body language and tone may have said something different. And so sometimes I find myself, you know, Peter and I get in these hilarious arguments all the time where, you know, I say I'm tone sensitive. You know, he says I'm tone sensitive. And I say he has to, you know, maybe quiet his tone down. And we just get in these dumb fights about pizza and ice cream. Like, they're super dumb. You know what I mean? But it's that idea of, wait a minute, I've got to seek to understand, what are you actually trying to communicate? And so I'm seeing this repeated out in the workplace because I manage a lot of staff. We have at least 47 staff at our church. And so I see the sibling rivalry all the time. I see people stepping on each other's toes with communications, with texts, with emails, with decisions, with preferences. And I kind of laugh, but I don't, because I scratch my head and go, oh, that's a personality conflict. You said this. They interpreted it totally different than what you meant. But now you're judging each other. You're assuming the worst about each other rather than seeking to understand each other.
So let's talk about how to navigate when that happens. And quite a few people texted in and said, yes, they're cut off from their children. So we are going to intercede and pray for you on the other side of the break as well. Talking to Carolyn Haas about being misunderstood, navigating conflict. We'll be back in a moment. I am here. I am. You're walking through a season right now where you feel misunderstood, misjudged, especially cut off by people that you want to be in a relationship with. It's really a good time to immerse yourself in songs like that. Just worship and remind your soul that God is with you. He loves you. He sees you. And you know what? It's so painful when the measure that we use against others will be used against us. And there are some who are just walking around with a high level of offendability. I remember Francis Frangipane is someone who's in the early years of Christianity really shaped my thinking. And he wrote an article or book. He said something like, there are two camps of people in the kingdom. He says those who are perpetually offended and those who are perpetually fueling the offense. And those who are perpetually fueling the offense, God is using and anointing for his good work. And they're learning to process these things in a Christ-like way that just increases the anointing on their life. Meanwhile, the perpetually offended person is really bringing a judgment on themselves because the measure they use is being used against them. Pastor Carolyn Haas joins me today, and we're talking about normalizing conflict, about finding freedom in spite of what others might be thinking about you, and to let the gap widen between how people's opinions affect you and how God's opinion affects you. Quickly, we opened the drawing for a huge case of the 10 packs of my cards for my Strong in Battle. They're 10 packs of beautiful scenic cards with quotes. Our link is bouncing back. It's not working. So if you've ever entered the drawing in the past, scroll back in your text line, find a pass link and use that, and that should work. If you've never done that before, I'm going to have to find out from Angie what your next instruction should be. So sorry about that. We don't know why it's misfiring. But Carolyn, I want you to speak to, maybe we can pause and pray. I'm, again, amazed at the people I hear from who are parents that want to see their grandkids. And these kids of theirs are serving in their local church, you know, involved in Bible study. So they're not rogue and rebellious that way, but they're prideful and self-righteous and refusing to speak to these heartbroken parents. It's happening everywhere. I wonder if you could just pray, because this is something that is so heartbreaking. You can't get that time back with those grandbabies. And I know this breaks God's heart. And there's so many situations where you can work it out if you'd humble yourself. Would you maybe say a word and then we could just pray for a moment?
Absolutely. God, I just thank you that this is what we're talking about today. And you see the parents, you see the grandparents, you see the kids, you see the grandkids. And you desire restoration and you desire life. And so I just ask right now that you would just grant wisdom. You said if anyone lacks wisdom, that we could ask and you give generously.
Yes, sir.
And I just know that you have to pour out your heart. You're going to actually give revelation of why, what's the source of the conflict, what's the root, where's the misunderstanding,
yes,
where to apologize, where to serve, how to fill the emotional bank account. Like, God, you have got practical wisdom. And you're going to give spiritual wisdom of what to say, what not to say. Lord, it's like this bomb disarmament. You are going to give supernatural wisdom. And even as we go through the rest of this show today, I just thank you that part of the things we're going to talk about are going to be little tips and tricks on how to disarm bombs, people bombs, relational,
God.
You know. And so, Lord, I just thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for helping me learn and grow. I thank you for helping Susie learn and grow. And I just thank you that we get to help others today with what we've navigated and walked through in Jesus' name.
Father, and I add, we put the cross of Jesus Christ between every family and every demonic scheme to blow it up, every demonic scheme to bring division. We put the cross of Jesus Christ between these families and the enemy's scheme. And I pray now in Jesus' name that these many young people, would you bring deep, profound conviction. Give them dreams in the middle of the night. Let them see and hear your voice, and may they see, Lord God, the damage that they're doing. And I pray you'd bring healing and redemption and reconciliation. And as Carolyn prayed too, in some cases where there is blindness on both sides, I pray bring sight, bring a heart of redemption and reconciliation, but take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'd love to talk more about these tips and tools, but I got to know, you know, when you were guys were going through that massive growth spurt, and, you know, I love just your honesty about it, because that is what happens. It's beyond what it's humanly possible to manage. So you're not going to keep everybody happy. And, you know, you had betrayal and had people assigning motive. How did you come to a place of joy where you kind of brushed yourself back off, got back in the game and thought, I'm going to entrust my reputation to God?
You know, that's a great question. I think for me, it was several. I had several things. I had to meet with a counselor who actually helped me and said, Carolyn, you're grieving. You know, and so I was like, oh, okay. I had to identify that I was actually grieving relationships and losing friendships and losing people. And so I think identifying the phases and stages of grieving. I remember reading the book Necessary Endings by Henry Cloud. And this is awkward to say out loud, but there's 5 dysfunctions in the book. I had all 5 of them. And all I had to do was read it, and it set me free. And it just taught me, you know, just that. And when I pastored in Wisconsin, it was a small town. Like, no one left the church ever. Even if they didn't like you, they never left the church because there wasn't other churches to go to.
Well, in the Twin Cities, people church hop all the time. So part of it was I went from rural to urban, and I was not, I just was totally caught off guard by people leaving our church. I was committed to do life with people forever and ever, whether that's healthy or not. You know what I mean? And so part of it was I had to grow and understand my context. And so I think I had to mature and grow. And then I spent hours every day reading my Bible on my knees, worshiping, you know what I mean? And getting words from the Lord. And then I would ask God for prophetic words. I would just literally be like, God, I need you to speak prophetically. And we would go places, and total strangers that were trusted prayer warriors would pray over us. And there are some words that were spoken over us that just literally set me free. And and one of them was like, it described exactly to a T what we were navigating emotionally and walking through. They knew nothing about us. And literally the guy physically started shaking us. And he's like, the Lord is shaking you. The Lord is shaking you. It's not the enemy, and everything that can happen to you, you know, and he's like, I see you on this path, and it's not been fun. And there's been misunderstanding and pain, and you want to punch the wall. And like, that's literally it. We had been going on 2 years of transitions and change and grieving and misunderstanding. And so that's exactly how we felt. And then he said this, but you are on track, and the Father is pleased with you. And like, that's all I needed to know, is that I hadn't done something stupid. Do you know what I mean? And because I think I got so insecure in that broken season and just thought I ruined the church. I messed up. I'm a bad leader. And I just needed to know, no, you're on track. The Father is pleased with you. And there is a finish line. And once you cross it, there's going to be fruit. And, you know, we didn't cross that quote unquote finish line for several more years. We still had more delay, more devastation, more diagnoses. Like, we went through more hardship, but I knew there was a finish line coming. Mm-hmm. And all I needed to know was that the Father was pleased with me. And so to me, you know, I did everything. And then I would talk to every mentor I could that was ahead of us and in leadership, in parenting, and in pastoring. And I just, talk to me, teach me, speak to me. What am I doing wrong? You know, so just humility, humility, humility. I would go to every conference, be at every altar call. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of times when we're broken and feeling maybe insecure, a lot of times we isolate, we withdraw. And so both Peter and I were committed to, no, we're going to show up. We're not going to quit. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to keep seeking the Lord.
And you were benefactors because of that. And so some of this was a pruning. And what I think it's so important to mention, too, is your test was also their test. And so just because God is doing this because he's preparing you for growth, you know, pruning is painful. He's cutting some things back. He's preparing you for the more. But the people can choose their reaction. And if they're choosing an ungodly reaction, because I do feel like there's times I wrote about this in Uncommon Woman where God allows the air to almost sharpen around us and it becomes easier to gossip about us. And that is a test of our hearts. Will we trust God? But it's also a test of those who take the bait. And so that's not to say that those who backstabbed you are just scot-free just because God's redeeming your story. You know, he's a righteous and just God, and he's going to deal with them as he deals with us, you know, because he's righteous. And I feel like that helped me so much in some of my refining times, going, he sees who's stabbing me. He sees who's gossiping, but he sees my heart. So deal with my heart, Lord, and I know you'll defend me with what they're saying.
And, you know, that's when Peter wrote the book, Broken Escalators. And there's chapters, and I know you've loved that book and you've interviewed him so much on it, but there's chapters he wept in the presence of the Lord writing that book, because it talks about so much betrayal and David and all of David's enemies, and how David, even when Shimei was literally freaking out, you know, and he's running out of the country because of Absalom, and then Shimei's throwing stones at him. And, you know, I mean, like, it's this crazy story. And yet David's response wasn't, go kill Shimei for speaking, for dishonoring me. It was like, hey, if this is the Lord, I receive it. You know, and he was just totally humble. You know what I mean? It's like the Lord will judge me, and the Lord will also defend me. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I think, you know, that book was written out of just our deep crying out to the Lord and saying, help us.
So good. And just a side note, you'll be glad to know this, Carolyn, but our mutual friend Shannon Velzer joins me tomorrow for a book talk. And guess what we're talking about? Necessary endings. So how cool is that?
she is the most amazing human on the planet.
Yes. Oh, and we're just digging into, when is it time to walk away? When is it time to, you know, when do you sense that God is saying your time here has come to completion? Well, that will be a great conversation tomorrow. Okay, let's talk now about some of just, if you had tips for someone. I have so many people texting in going, I'm there now. Yes. And just a side note, somebody also just texted in feeling like they do have to distance themselves from their mother because she's a narcissist. She keeps crossing boundaries. She's telling her grandson to keep secrets from her own mom. Well, that is a total exception to, you know, what I'm talking about. There are times 100%. When boundaries, yes. Hope you guys hear that. I'm talking about self-righteous, prideful. I don't know. You looked at me wrong last Christmas. I don't want anything to do with you. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, dig in, Carolyn.
Let's say this. Boundaries are different than offense. Boundaries are what
Good
I need
point.
To define health behaviors and actions in a relationship. But offense is a heart issue. It's a position I take toward a person. And
Good.
So I actually wrote, this is literally something I wrote in my journal 2 weeks ago because I'm navigating a friendship tension, a relationship tension with somebody that nobody, you know, is out of state. But it's this idea of like, hey, boundaries are different than offense. And so, because otherwise I can feel this guilt and shame of like, I think I've forgiven them, but I still have to have a boundary. My relationship has changed with them, but that doesn't mean I'm walking in unforgiveness. And so offense is a heart issue. It's a position I take toward a person. And you know what I mean? It's justification of my hurt, my pain, my anger. It's a self-defense mechanism. And honestly, I would say offense is a revealer of the deeper work God wants to do in me, and it's a revealer of my bruises. And so for me, like the first practical tip I have of like, and this is literally stuff I'm and these are my journal entries of what I'm personally walking through right now is knowing myself. Like I'm telling you, like I so am into studying every personality assessment out there. Like, and I'm not even going to go into them all, but you know, you got Myers-Briggs, StrengthFinders, Love Language, Enneagram, all of it, right? Because not as an excuse for behavior, but as a launchpad for growth. Because for me, I have found the things that I'm journaling about that I'm offended or triggered or mess with me, or I find that I'm sensitive. They're all, I can trace them to my wiring. I can trace them to some of my strength finders. I can trace them to my Enneagram. I can trace them to, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I realized, and then one of my friends was like, was telling me some of her strengths. And she's like, well, I'm typically, I've got Includer in my strength finder. And so she was, I find myself triggered if I'm not included in things. And I was like, wow, I appreciate you telling me that. Like, I don't have that in my strength finders. I'm never offended if I'm not included. Like, you don't have to invite me to anything. Do you know what I mean? So to me, that's so insightful. It's so good to know that based on the different ways we're wired, I'm going to be offended. So let me give you an example. So recently, somebody had given me feedback about substance. And I realized, I love feedback. I want feedback all the time. But I realized they didn't give me any words of affirmation. They didn't give me any, like, they just went for the jugular. Of course I was offended. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Because now I don't know if they're safe. And, like, do you see any good that we're doing? Do you see any, you know, like, and so I found it as a personal attack. I found it as a rejection. Like, and so I've been journaling this and bringing it to the Lord. But I realized because words of affirmation are so important to me personally, then when I not only have the lack of words of affirmation, but I have the negative, I'm just personally a little bit more sensitive to that. And I think we're all sensitive to words, but I think it just helps me to know my wiring. And I felt like that was an insight the Holy Spirit, like, Carolyn, the reason why you're still struggling with that is because they just didn't give you words of affirmation. If that person knew that you were hurting right now because of their feedback, they'd be horrified. That was not their heart. They love you so much. Their heart, you know what I mean, was just to give you some feedback. But because they didn't fill your emotional bank account, because they didn't thank you and appreciate you for all your hard work. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know this sounds so basic, but I have just found that the more I study myself and I'm aware of my wiring, I can see, and here's why this is important. The devil knows you more than you know you. And so he knows your wiring and he knows where to trip you up and he knows your bruises. And so I'm just a fan of know yourself, study yourself, not as an excuse for behavior, but as a launch pad for growth, as a place that you can gain. So for the parents, for the grandparents, like you got to know your personality and you got to know how you come off. And, you know, and I don't mean that to be a slap to parents and grandparents, but we absolutely have to know ourselves and know what to say, what not to say, how our tone comes off, and how do we parent our children, even as adult kids, how do we do that based on personalities?
Boy, that's so good. So know yourself. And as we go to break, it makes me want to circle back to the part of your story where you were asking God to show you what makes me driven. And God showed you some things that sort of embedded in your soul because of something that you saw that you're like, I don't want that to happen to me. All of us are walking around with some of those things. And I think if there's conflict in your life, especially with loved ones, just dare to ask God. Even if they're, you know, I always say it takes some humility to let the fire refine you if someone else is guilty of lighting the match. But why waste a good fire? Let the fire refine you. Say, Lord, show me, you know, what in this? I think it was, who was it, Joyce Meyer? Somebody said, what in me needed this to happen? Where we dare to say, show me what you're getting after in me so that I can grow into your likeness. I think that's so wise. Carolyn Haas is my guest today. We're talking about navigating conflict, how to navigate being misunderstood, how to enjoy being enjoyed by God, even when others maybe don't get you. We'll get to that in a little bit here. Don't go away. And remember, we're having some issues with our text line, so try tomorrow or later tonight. They're working on it right now. But we're going to leave the drawing open, especially with the issues, for a few days here. So we've got a whole case of 10 packs of these Strong in Battle cards. They're gorgeous pictures with really inspirational quotes. When you're ready to text book, text it. And when the link works, just request the cards. We got a whole bunch to give away. Love and appreciate you. We'll be back in a minute. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you. Great day. We are having a great conversation with my friend, Pastor Carolyn Haas, about being misunderstood, how to widen the gap between how people affect you and how God affects you, how to navigate conflict while holding fast to your identity. One of the things Carolyn said is to know yourself, to know what offends you. And you can usually, she says, trace it back to your personality type, the way God has wired you, where someone who maybe needs words of affirmation. And she gave the example of someone bringing a correction or an assessment about the church that she and her husband leads. Without any affirmation, that hurt, you know? And so to really understand, what are some unhealed areas of my life? What are some of the repeated ways the enemy comes against me? Because that's like a landing strip for him using somebody to bring some pain, which would cause a reaction in you. So as you get to know yourself, all in the light of your security in Christ, that will help you navigate some of the things that come at you. Well, the second thing, Carolyn, you said is know who the real enemy is. Say more about that.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, I think we think people are the enemy because they are the conduit of the offense. And so I think it's really important that we understand spiritual warfare. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And here's what I'm walking through is I've realized the last even couple weeks, one of the tactics of the enemy is to make things feel real. Accusations, triggers, fears, anxieties, and any bruises from the past. It's a distraction. And what's interesting is James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've had to realize. I think it actually takes humility to realize there's a devil involved and that there's actually spiritual warfare because we want humans to be the enemy. We want someone that we can target with our anger and blame. And yet we actually, you can't resist the devil. You can't resist the devil until you actually identify it. And you know what I mean? So you have to identify the devil first, then resist him. And he won't leave unless we resist him. And we won't resist the devil if we don't believe he's actually involved. But when we do, he will flee, not he might flee. And so it feels almost like a spiritual cop-out to say there's spiritual warfare. I'm just being honest, like, because we feel like, no, people are, they said it, they did it. That's what they meant. I know that's what they meant. And I'm just going, you know what? Because the devil knows my bruises and he knows where I'm going to be sensitive and triggered, he is going to use people to say things to me that are going to just trip me up. And instead I get mad at the human. And the devil's just laughing. Like, he sits back and watches the drama, right? And he's like, look what I can distract Carol and get her off mission. You know what I mean? And I just think it's so important that to understand that we've got to identify. So then I go back to 2 Corinthians 10, where it says, we are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. Another translation, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And it literally goes on to say, there are strongholds of human reasoning. There are false arguments. There are proud obstacles that stop us from knowing God in areas of our lives, and that we're supposed to take every thought captive, capture it, and teach it to become obedient to Christ. Well, I don't think we like to do this when it comes to offense. I'm just being honest. Like, I don't think we actually have to stop, identify the thought, actually capture it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, capture it and then teach it to obey Christ. And that's, I think, right. It's interesting that the word that's used is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think the word wrestle is super important because we are wrestling with thoughts and emotions. It's a fight in our brain. It's rumination, right? It's this idea of, you know, but you're not entitled to your thoughts and emotions. Just because you have them, just because you feel it, doesn't mean it's true. And even if it is true, doesn't mean it's helpful. We're still called. And even if it's true and accurate, you're still called to surrender to Jesus Christ. And I just think that takes a lot of discipline. You know what I mean? So I have found myself, like, I have to literally journal and say the words out loud, like, devil, I resist you. And then if you keep reading that, you know, James, it's, once you resist the devil and he flees, it's draw near to God and that's he will right. draw near to you. And it's that invitation of God, come and help me navigate these emotions, these spaces, these reactions, these triggers that I'm feeling right now.
Amen.
Again, we've got to know who the real enemy is.
That's right. And you're right. It does take humility because it also puts responsibility then for us to love the person. Doesn't mean we trust them again. Doesn't mean we invite them into our inner circle. But trust me, when you're praying for that enemy, praying for the person who launched the offense or, you know, launched the bomb, if they get more of Jesus, everybody wins. If more of Jesus correct. Comes into their space, just like he does, he corrects, he directs, he guards, he guides. He doesn't let anybody off the hook. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been taken out to the woodshed, so to speak, but I've been under the discipline of God, and it's not fun, but he disciplines those he loves. So when you pray, yes. Jesus, give them more of yourself, everybody wins in that case. So I think that's really awesome. We just got a few minutes left, Carolyn. And I know, especially if you're an empath, which I am, if you have a highly sensitive spirit and you want to do things right, it's so easy to feel like if people aren't happy with me, to postpone joy. But in right now, Hebrews 12 tells us, right now, there's a joyful of assembly of uncounted angels in a joyful assembly worshiping God. I mean, we can't even imagine what it's like in heaven right now as there's a worship service going on and Jesus loves us and he advocates and intercedes for us. We have reason for joy. So maybe speak to just that person listening today who is maybe postponing joy because of conflict in their lives.
Yeah, that's a great, I think, you know, Psalm 62:1 is one of Peter and I's favorite verses, and it's my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And I think that's such an important verse to memorize because, first of all, my soul, my emotions, you know, and then finds rest, is not striving, freaking out, anxious, you know, rest, and then in God alone. And I think we're trying to, in perfect harmony, in relationships, in perfect politics, if everything's peaceful, if everyone likes me, if there's no conflict in my life, if there's no offense in my life. And God is calling us to a place of, nope, I need to get my rest from him alone. And the Psalms, I would say to you on a practical level, read the Psalms, because David deals with a lot of emotions, a lot of accusation and betrayal. And yet you always see him return to joy, return to worship, return to submission. And he always talks about sleep and being peaceful. He talks about his sleep being safe. And I think that's a really sacred space because our dreams is where we can toss and turn and get messed with when we're anxious or, you know, feeling different emotions and things. And so I think, no, he leads us beside still waters, green pastures. He restores our soul. You know what I mean? Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't say in perfect harmony with every human, there's perfect joy. No, in his presence is fullness of joy. I find that the more I worship, the less physical pain I feel, the less emotional pain I feel. In fact, everything dissipates in the presence of God. And so I was just even encouraging our staff recently. I'm like, guys, you have to increase your worship. I've increased my worship. And what do I mean by that? Like my private, in my car, in my home, blaring worship where it's not just background music while I'm doing the dishes, but I am stopping everything. My arms are raised before God. My soul, my voice, I am worshiping with all my might. And when I do that, I experience his presence, which there's freedom, there's joy. It just helps. It does. It helps.
Hallelujah. Okay, friends, I think you got your assignment. From now to Thanksgiving, you can pick it up or keep it going after that. But I dare you, from now to Thanksgiving, for you to increase your worship. Just increase your worship. And in his presence, the fullness of joy is found. That is where revelation happens. That's where healing happens. And Carolyn, this has been fantastic. I wish you could see the text line. I wish we could text you back, but we can't text you. But we're seeing your text. We appreciate it so much. People so resonated with this topic. I think I'm hearing from the Lord when I say it's time for you to write this book. It's fantastic content. Thank you. I love you, my friend.
Love you, Susie. Thanks so much.
Pastor Carolyn Haas is my guest today. I pray you found some encouragement. I love hearing from you. Thank you for the text. Tomorrow we're talking about Necessary Endings. Brilliant book. Going to be an important conversation. Don't forget to tune in. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.